Everybody sing amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank Brother Lauren for doing an outstanding job and leading us in those hymns of praise. It's always a good thing when God's people can come together to sing praises to His high and His holy name. We worship Him because of who He is, but we praise Him for what He has done for us. And God certainly has done much for us. We say good evening to the church tonight. And we're just so thankful to see so many out tonight. We was talking today about there's so many churches closing down Sunday night because people just aren't interested in getting together and worshiping God. Amen, somebody. I told my church, we ain't closing down Sunday night. If y'all don't come, I'll baptize another group. Amen. We're going to worship God. Amen. I need to apologize, too. This morning, I got so excited. I forgot to introduce my mother this morning, the woman who brought me into this world and introduced me to the church. Amen. So it's Barbara Jean Goodman. Amen. She's my traveling partner for the last year or so. She's living with me now. So we just spend 24/7 together. Amen. So y'all pray for me. Amen. No, mess up. Tonight, I want to bend your ear as we take a look into God's holy divine word. Now, I know it may sound elementary, but I'm an elementary preacher. Probably one of the biggest or greatest compliments I ever got was from a little boy who, in the washroom, we was sharing the sink together, and he looked at me and said, aren't you the preacher? I said, yes, sir, I'm the preacher. I said, what's your name? He rode the bus. I didn't really know who he was. And then he told me that I like the way you preach. I said, do you understand what I say? He said, yeah, I take notes. Boy, I couldn't help myself. I had to use that one. Amen. So out of all the great compliments you may get, it's good to know that an eight-year-old boy could understand. Matter of fact, most would suggest that when you're putting together a speech, it ought to be designed for eighth graders. You know, not that we're trying to insult somebody's intelligence, but we want to make it so simple and so plain that even a child could understand it. Amen? Amen. And so if I sound like I'm elementary, it's intentional. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse number 14 and conclude with verse number 18. Where the Apostle Paul, writing to the young Timothy, says, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman, and needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, whom concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. I always like to keep it in its proper context. But here, Paul is encouraging this young preacher to continue to perform his duties as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He starts off at the beginning of the chapter using some analogies to help him understand his role. And he calls him a teacher. He is a leader among God's people. He refers to him as a soldier in the army of the Lord. He calls him an athlete, if you will, striving for a victor's crown. And he refers to him as a farmer. In other words, it's his job to sow seed that it might produce a large crop. He wants them to know that you must give your life entirely to the mission of God's work. You have to endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You must be faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ. He talks about his responsibilities in verse 14 to 26. As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he says, it is your job to remind your people about the great spiritual truths that God has revealed, and to warn them against petty arguments, striving over words, and strive to become a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but knowing how to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, even though he was talking to Timothy, some refer to this as a pastoral epistle, but even though he was talking to the man of God, and it has to start with the man of God, because if the man of God don't study, then the church will die. But the thought is, he told him, put these things in remembrance of these things. Keep reminding them. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, around verse number 6, he says, if you want to be a good minister, remind them about these things. Continue to remind the church. So for Sound Elementary to remind you tonight of the importance of studying God's word, don't be insulted. Because as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are learners and followers of the word of God. So therefore, we should never outgrow study. I had a brother one time told me the reason he don't come to Bible class because he outgrew Sunday school. I say outgrew Sunday school. Then nobody outgrows Sunday school. We all can learn something from the studying of God's word. That we might be at different levels of our understanding of God's word, different levels when it comes to our faith, but there's always something you can get out of it, if it's direct or indirect. There is something you can get out to intrigue or catch your attention that you can go home and create a study of your own. Yes, sir. Children of God are always be engaged with studying the word of God. Amen. So it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman and needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we see three thoughts right in the text. Study to show thyself approved unto God, comma. In other words, if you want to meet God's approval, you have to spend some time in the book. You don't know if God approves of it or not unless you spend some time in the book. And then the second thought is, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. If we never see a sign say men at work, you expect to see somebody doing some work. In other words, he said, when you study and you really understand what God expects of you, you get busy doing something for the Lord. And you don't have the reason to be ashamed, because what you are doing is what God expects of you. Because thirdly, you rightly divide the word of truth, or you have learned how to keep it in its proper context. Amen. In other words, cut it straight, as some translation would suggest. I use often the illustration when you go to the market and you look behind that mirror window, and the meat cutters about there, the meat cutters are back there, and they got a hog on the table or something, and they got that big old knife, and they're cutting and separating, cutting. What they're doing, they're cutting a straight. In other words, they have to make an accurate cut so you can separate the shoulder from the thigh, from the leg, from the foot. Amen. They have to rightly divide it and separate it. Amen, somebody. That way, when you go to buy a pig's foot, you don't end up with something else. It has to be cut a straight. So I think the same thing is true when it comes to our own personal lives. When it comes to studying God's word, we have to learn how to cut it straight. Amen. Let me talk, if you take a note from the subject tonight, study to stand before you fall. Study to stand before you fall. In other words, he wants us to engage in Bible study, to immerse ourselves in the word of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 12, you said that the reading of books, there is no end, but there ought to be a weariness to the flesh. Much study is a weariness to the flesh. The thought is that every child of God ought to burn the midnight oil. I don't know when is your favorite time to study the word of God, but everybody ought to be engaged in Bible study. One sermon a week will make you weak, somebody said. If you just rely on the preacher or the leaders or the teachers to feed you, and your Bible is dusty all week long, Well, shame on you. Everybody ought to be engaged in Bible study. There will be a time in your schedule every day, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon or if it's in the evening, that you have anywhere from a half an hour to an hour, I suggest an hour, where you study to meet God's approval, to find out what will God have you to know and to do that your work will not be in vain. Paul said a workman, every child of God ought to be involved in ministry. Paul said when he wrote to the church at Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, I think it is, when he says, seeing that we have received mercy, we now have a ministry. In other words, for me to find my place in the body of Jesus Christ, I got to dive into God's word and to find out what God expects of me, how God can use me. Sometimes people live and die in the body of Christ and never find their place, what they're supposed to be doing in the cause of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we're doing something that's really not our calling. Be like Master Kiba told a sister who couldn't sing in the choir. He said, sister, this is not your ministry. In other words, we need to find out what is my calling, what is my gift, what is my ministry. And the more we read, the more we study, the more we begin to understand what is God's purpose for our own lives. See, Paul had a goal for Timothy. He wanted him to be a workman, but he didn't have a reason for being ashamed. If somebody would ask him a question, have you ever been put to shame? Often I tell folks, you need to be in a conversation with an Orthodox Jew. You need to be in a conversation with a Muslim. You need to be in a conversation with a well-studied Jehovah's Witness. Why, Brother Goodman? It's hard to win them. Well, sometimes you need a good Bible whipping. Sometimes you need some hard questions. Sometimes you need to defend what you believe. Sometimes we may not know what we believe because we really don't know what the Bible says. We believe the preacher believes it. Boy, he sure preached like he believed it. I believe he believed it. But the question is, do you believe? You remember when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi in Matthew chapter 16, he asked the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This is, some say this, some say that. He said, what you say? In other words, I want to hear from you. What do you say? In other words, what do you believe? Let me hear it come from your lips. What do you believe based upon your knowledge of the scriptures or your understanding from your wrestling and studying and working hard and intersecting and dissecting the word of God? What conclusions have you drawn with the word of God? Don't say the Church of Christ believe this. Say the Bible says that. Because if the Baptists say it, they right. If they say the sky is blue, they right. Don't get quiet on me now. Right is right. It doesn't matter who lips it comes out of. But we have to make sure that what we are doing, we don't have a reason for being ashamed because we have learned how to rightly divide the word of truth. We have to be able to discern. You remember in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, he said, the word of God, it is quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder, soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. And then it goes on in chapter 5. It says, you know, there comes a time when we ought to be teachers. But we have need the one teach us again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. He said, those who need milk, they are unskillful in the word. But meat belongs to those who are full age. And by reason of use, note now, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Everything is not always black or white. Everything is not cut, dry, and clear. Sometimes you have to grow in maturity to be able to see certain things. Mature people see things differently than immature people. So it is imperative that we grow because there's a lot of gray areas that we have to discern. What is expedient? What is discreet? What is modest? What is acceptable in the sight of God? And maturity demands that we be progressive in learning how to discern the things that God will have us to know. Paul said, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. So I can't be brought under the power of those things. In other words, expedient means in my best interest as a child of God. Yes, I can do this, and yes, I can do that. Because many Christians are doing it. But as you grow in Christ Jesus, you realize that your calling does not contribute to that activity at all. So Paul tells Timothy to study. Now, when we talk about studying, as I said this morning, studying is a lot different from just reading the Bible. Now, we ought to read the Bible. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, when he talks about him being a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, you know about the dispensation that was given to me, I give it to you. He said, whereby I wrote it down in a few words that when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. What was the mystery then? He talked about the Gentiles being grafted in, coming into the body of Christ. And it was hard for Jews to accept that because they were rejecting God's will. So when we don't study and understand what God expects, we start having some problems. And when the Gentiles came into church, they started bringing pig feet in there. The Jews had a problem with that. He said, well, y'all missing the point. You got to love your brother. The kingdom of God is not about meat and drink, but it's about loving one another. And when you love people, you learn how to look past all those petty things. Teach them not to strive and argue over words. So it's imperative that we read so we can know what God has to say. Reading, just casual reading. I'm going to read 3 chapters before I go to bed. Just reading on my lunch break. I'm going to read the whole book of Matthew. I'm going to read the book of Acts. I'm just reading. Leisure reading. Reading is when you go wide. You can read as much as you want. But studying is when you go deep. So Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I study so I can work. I study so I know what God expects of me. And part of the work that I do is teaching other people. You can't teach nobody if you're not studying yourself. Amen. That might be the reason why most church folk don't do a whole lot of teaching. We might not really know ourselves. Yes, sir. We're not convicted in ourselves that this is right and the world needs right. Yes, sir. We're not compelled to do anything concerning that because maybe we are ashamed of our own study life. Amen. But it says you must study. I put together a CP tip that I use back home, and I call it C, stands for chapter outline. P is for passage analysis. T is for topical study. I is for interpretation, investigation, and P is for people's court. And I teach my folk that if you can master these 5 areas of study, these school of thoughts, then you can handle most conversations that you're involved in. Chapter outline is that it's always 3 or 4 things that you remember about every chapter. That if somebody's in a restaurant talking about something, bam, you know what book is in. It's not like ragu is in there somewhere. Like grandma used to say, oh, it's in the Bible, honey. Oh, I need to narrow it down to where is it in the Bible. I need to read it for myself. So if anybody's talking about any chapter in the Bible, you ought to get to the point where you know at least 3 things about what's going on in that particular chapter. That's called chapter outline, and most Bibles will kind of outline the chapter for you to make it easier. And then, of course, I call passage analysis is when you take a few verses like we just had here, and we look at the context, because if you take a text out of context, it becomes a pretext, meaning we interpret it as something that the author never intended for it to mean. We start making up stuff to fit what we want to do. So we have to learn how to analyze the passage and break it down so we can say exactly what the passage is saying. And then there's topical study. Whenever a subject comes up, you ought to know all the scriptures that's connected to the study. I was at pizza place one Sunday, and I heard some folk in line talking about the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, what the pastor said. And that was all. They was, oh, child, we have service today. Oh, the tongues were high. The spirit was high. And I said, well, what church doing all this speaking in tongues? They told me the name of the church, but I know the minister over there. So I said, well, what scripture references were being used? And everybody froze up. Scriptures. Oh. I said, well, you know a little something about that subject. Let me give you some scriptures. I started rambling off a few scriptures. Then I said, girl, you got a pen? Give me something to write with. See, whenever people do that, what that means is these scriptures are foreign to them. I don't have to write them down. They up here. And you can't talk about that subject without going to at least 10 scriptures in the Bible. there are 10 scriptures in the Bible or speaking in tongues that you got to go to. You can't ignore them in understanding this business about speaking in tongues. So the thought is, why? Because I've done a topical study on that. Same thing with baptism or the one church or whatever subject it is. You pick a topic in your quiet time and start looking at all the scriptures in the Bible that deals with this subject, lining it up, maybe making an outline for yourself so you can speak intelligently. Say what the first thing is, and the second thing is, and the third thing, you have to have logical thinking and speaking and helping people stay on track with the subject. Amen, somebody. One lady started speaking in tongues on me when I was teaching her. I just sat right there. I said, are you through? Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. I didn't come over here to have a tongue speaking contest with you. I came over here to examine the word of God. Let's see what God has to say about this thing. And then, of course, there's interpretation, investigation. And I call that when you use your commentaries, your study books, or, you know, buy some books. We encourage people, you know, spend money buying books. You ought to have a library in your house. You ought to have a desk with your books on it, all the resource information that you need. Now we got them on our iPad. If you have log holes or something, you have all this information that you can go to and to enhance and to develop and to make your study exciting. It should never be a boring thing. Learning ought to be exciting. And we need, I call it interpretation investigation, because we really just listen to what other men have to say. These were books that were written by men. Now, many of them are smart, and they can help us see some things. So it's not wrong to buy books of men, because these are subjects that will help us understand more about the Bible. And then finally, there's people's court. That's when I take a character in the Bible and do a study, where I can understand more about this character so I can understand more about me. And how did he deal with things when it came to God? See, it's imperative that we study, because there are many people who just simply misunderstand the Bible. They misunderstand the visions in the Bible. They don't know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They misunderstand chapters and verses and phrases and words. That's why Paul said, teach them that they argue or strive not about words, to no profit. And so even when we're reading the scriptures, I was telling somebody the other day, was in a group, and they was mispronouncing, you know, and we bring this to church. We didn't do too good at English and comprehension, so we bring that thing to church. And sometimes we skip over words, we misspell words, we mess up words. But you mess up one word in the verse, and it changes the whole verse. We got to pronounce the words right and read the words right. If not, the audience is going to get another impression. I had a fellow challenge me when he said baptism does not save. And I went to the scripture. The Bible said baptism doth now save. He took an N-O-W. He just changed one letter to N-O-T. Now, one letter changed in the verse changed the whole meaning. You see? And we have people misquoting the passage, people not reading it right. What I teach people to do is get the answer right out of the passage. The Bible can interpret itself if you know what you're looking for. So we have to spend time studying the Word of God. It is God's inspired Word. All scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instructions in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly equipped. God can give you everything you need to do what you got to do. Amen, somebody. If your heart is right, and I don't like not knowing twice. I don't mind saying, you know what, I don't have the answer right now. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to be up all night long. I'm going to find the answer. I'm going to get my books out. I'm going to make some phone calls. I'm going to be ready for you. Where's she at? I know something now. You know, we don't like being wrong. But that's what studying would do for you. It'll make you look like you're a scholar. And all you would do is just studying the Bible. You're not coming up with anything new. You're just using it to the glory and honor of God. In most cases, if you're carrying a Bible around, they think, what, you studying to be a preacher or something? No, I'm just studying the Bible. People think that only those who want to be preachers ought to be the ones who spend all this time taking courses online and studying the Bible. But every child of God ought to be studying the Bible. Jesus said in John 17:17 that thy word is true. He told them in John 8:32, the truth shall set you free. In other words, we ought to speak the oracles of God. It is the word of reconciliation, the word of righteousness, and the psalmist said that the word is pure. In other words, every child of God ought to want the word in his and her life. Is able to build us up, Acts 20 and verse number 32. Is able to convert us, Matthew 13 and verse number 35. The word, there's so many benefits in studying and obeying God's everlasting word. So Paul tells Timothy, son, you got to study. You can't be lazy in this area. You got to spend time in God's word. When I go out of town, I go to different places. I want to go to the minister. I want to see what's in his office. Then I went to one minister's office. He had a sofa in there and a big screen TV. Had about 3 books. I'm feeling sorry for the church. Had one preacher tell me he don't write nothing down because the devil might be looking over his shoulder and see what he's writing and get out there and start working in the congregation, messing up his sermon before he even preached. So I said, I don't. The devil don't know what I'm going to preach. I don't know what I'm going to preach. I started feeling sorry for the church. Yes, you ought to write it down. Yes, you ought to study. Yes, you ought to have an outline. Yes, you ought to know what you're talking about. Because as a teacher, people will follow your lead. And if the blind lead the blind, the Bible says, they both shall fall in a ditch. So we have to learn how to handle it. All right, cut it straight, one translation says. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we don't handle it in a deceptive way. We don't just use it to try to justify what we want to do. The Bible is right, even if we're wrong. Amen. If I'm wrong, the Bible is still right. In other words, we don't pull God's standard down to meet us. No, we pull ourselves up to meet his standard. And the word of God is right. We all fall short of the glory of God. Now notice as I close the warnings in scriptures. There are several warnings that he gives us. We got to be careful of. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 7 through 9, we ought to never substitute God's word. Not just giving lip service to God, but we ought to make sure our hearts are right. And we're not just substituting giving God what we want to give God instead of giving God what he asked for. You know, maybe like Cain did. Instead of giving God what he asked for, I'm going to give God what I want to give him, and he has to accept it. No, God doesn't have to accept it. In other words, there's no shortcuts to pleasing God. You have to spend time in the Bible to find out what God expects of us. What does God have to say about the subject? And it may not be the most popular answer. Sometimes you come up with stuff, people say, huh? No. I say, well, that's the conclusion that we've come to. That's the sum of it all. We've studied all the scriptures. We've asked all the questions. Who, what, when, where, and how. That works, you know, with Bible study. Who is talking? What is he talking about? Where is he writing? Who is he talking to? For what purpose? You ask yourself all the questions and learn how to get the answers out of scriptures. That's where your power comes from, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In John chapter 12 and verse number 48, he said, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word, hath one that judgeth him, and the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The warning there is, never reject God's word. You may not like it. Peter said, the writings of Paul, sometimes it's hard to be understand. People wrestle with the scriptures. Sometimes there are scriptures that you don't like. Gospel preacher was preaching in a revival, and he would quote a scripture, and the lady in the back said, that ain't in my Bible. And he heard her. He kept on preaching. He quoted another scripture. No, that ain't my Bible. She said it about 5 times during his sermon. So at the door, he said, what Bible do you have? She said, the King James Version. He said, let me see. He opened up her Bible, and she had cutouts. See, every scripture she didn't agree with. Now, you may not have the audacity and unmitigated goal to cut scriptures out of your Bible, but sometimes we have a mind blockage. Amen, somebody. If we're on a subject that's rubbing you the wrong way, we kind of... We stare off in space. We start cleaning the lint off our suit. Act like he ain't talking to me. Well, the Bible is right even when we're wrong. Amen. The Bible now can change. Folks leave the church. But when they come back, we're teaching the same thing. Church not going to change for you. You got to change for the church. And then, of course, Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, when he said he was marveled that they are so soon removed from him that had called them to the grace of Christ, no, to another gospel. He said, which is not another. But there will be some that would pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul said, but though we, an apostle, an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, he said, let him be accursed. I said it before, let me say it again. Let me just reiterate what I said. This is important, that nobody has the right to change one letter, one word, one sentence. And sometimes stuff is so erroneous and so ridiculous, like Paul mentioned here, that some have taught that the resurrection has already passed. Oh man, we missed the resurrection? Who gonna believe that? When Jesus come back, everybody gonna know it. But sometimes some doctrines are so foolish. I don't fault the men who teach false doctrine. I fault the folk who believe false doctrine. Because we all have a choice, amen. But he said there will be some that will pervert or contaminate or change the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul said, I'm surprised that just so soon already you done left the Lord's church and you done went back to something false. My summation is many of us came out of denominational churches. And once you start learning the truth and studying scriptures, and maybe you were wrestling with becoming a member, so you were still over there, over here, over there, over here. You, your family over there, still got family over there, right? They still over there jumping, shouting to Reverend. Amen. You're trying to show them something. They don't want to listen to you. But we were over there one time as well. And it was hard for us to make that break or make that decision to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we realized that we were following something that was perverted. You can't study the truth and remain the same. You can't learn truth and sit under error. Sooner or later, you have to make a decision. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word and do it in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they, the teachers, shall turn them, the students, away from the truth, unto fables. Who in the world will fall for a lie? Many people. There's a lot of false prophets out there. So the warning here is never turn away from the word of God. Then finally, the last warning we see in Scripture, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, we see it rehearsed in Deuteronomy 4, 2 and Proverbs 30, verse 5. The thought is never add nor take away from the word of God. That's why it's imperative. Number one, Timothy, you got to study. You got to know what you believe so you can get a message to the people. I told my folk last week when I first came to town, because there was no church in the city where I preached. When I got there, there was no Church of Christ there. And so I told them, if I wouldn't have taught y'all well, y'all would be calling me Reverend. You didn't know no better. You were calling the preacher Reverend over there in the church where you were. I could have been strutting around with a robe on. You wouldn't know no better. I could have had a few sisters over here as my assistants. You wouldn't have known any better. I could have a pastor's auxiliary board serving me. You wouldn't have known any better. But you know better. You know why? Because I taught you better. Now, yes. Now, I might have missed out on a lot of perks. But it's not about me. It's about you and God. All I want to do is invigorate you or infuse you or excite you or to create a steady habit in you. And in the Lord's church, we're not ashamed or embarrassed about questions because we believe a Bible question deserves a Bible answer. And if I don't know, I will find out. I'm not going to not know twice. Amen, somebody. So Paul tells Timothy, study. I'm telling Sandy Lane, Richmond Church, study. There used to be a time I was reading one of the Sunday school books, A Court in Texas or Tennessee. That's when they used to make you put your hand on the Bible. Remember them days? The bailiff was fumbling around and couldn't find the Bible. The judge said, what's going on, bailiff? He said, Your Honor, we can't find the Bible. The judge said, is there a member of the Church of Christ in the audience? One gentleman said, I'm a member of the Church of Christ. He said, sir, would you come up here, sir? He said, bailiff, you tell the witness to put their hand on this man's head. These Church of Christ folk are just as good as the Bible. That was the time we were known. Bible-toting, Bible-quoting church. And I'm hoping we don't change that. I baptized a fellow one time in a gospel meeting, and he went back to the Methodist church. But it's funny. He went and told his brother, man, if you want the truth, go down to that church. I said it's one of the greatest compliments our congregation ever had. That when visitors can leave, even if they don't obey the gospel, they can say, man, I heard the truth. What they said was right. Now, I'm not ready for it, but I recognize right when I hear it. Yes. Brothers, we can't get those compliments if we're not teaching truth. We can't teach truth if we're not studying truth. I just want to encourage you to make a commitment. Start investing in the books. If every month you buy a new book. Every month, read a new book. Start collecting books on different subjects. Look for what you need. If I need motivation in this area, I need strength in this area, and I want to learn about this subject over there, you know, purchase good books. Talk to people who read books. And make sure you start collecting books and reading books, studying, so you can meet God's approval. So you can work for God and know you're not working in vain. I know what I'm doing, like our denominational friends. They're over there working hard for the pastor, but not for the master. They're over there working on the Orange Juice Committee, working on the auxiliary board, working as secretary, doing this, doing that, for 30 years. You come along with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it hurts them to their heart. They've been working in vain. They've been doing all of this, not based on scriptures, but on family tradition.
Amen.
That's a dreadful day to stand before God and hear him say, I know you're not, ye workers of iniquity. Iniquity means lawlessness. You're doing some stuff. We prophesied in that name. We cast out devils. We did many wonderful works. He didn't argue with them. They did that stuff. But they didn't do what he told them to do. So therefore it says, depart from me. Brother and sister, I don't know about you, but I ain't going to hell that easy. Hey, I ain't going to let the devil just, you know, ignorance be one of the things I'm not going to hell for. Amen, somebody. So we got to study God's word to make sure we know what God expects of us. Maybe you're here tonight, maybe not a member of the body of Jesus Christ. The doors of the church swing open on welcome hinges to you and your family. We just want everybody to be saved. Why? Because God said he wants all men to be saved, but he wants all men to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said the truth is the only thing that will set you free. We need to be set free from sin, set free from ignorance, set free from being in darkness. The truth is a light. And when we know better, we do better. So all you have to do is hear the gospel. Believe it with all your heart. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Submit yourself to water baptism. All your sins will be washed away. That's what God said. You don't have to feel nothing. God said you're saved. I just don't feel saved. It don't matter. You're saved. There's no feeling. There's nothing hit you on the top of your head and rust down through your body and burst your toes out of your shoes. That kind of stuff don't happen. All your sins are washed away. God has operated on you. And all your sins are removed. You don't have to feel anything. If you're a member of the body of Christ, but maybe deep down in your heart, you know what? I done slacked up on my studies. One sister told me, I never see my husband studying. Mm-hmm. And he was an elder in the church. The fault is, everybody, Paul told Timothy, your profiting will appear to all. A couple of my young brothers I'm training, they quoting a lot of scriptures and quoting the genealogies and the church. How do you do all that? Study. The only way you're going to remember all that stuff, you got to study. You got to spend time in the book. And I know sometimes older people say, I hear it all the time, brother, forget it. I'm too old to remember stuff. Stop lying. You can remember what you want to remember. You remember, you know, the channel your stories come on. You know, social security numbers and telephone numbers and come on now, you know, scratch off numbers. We know we remember what we want to remember. You can remember scriptures. Amen. That might be a way of keeping your mind alive. They say now if you do something you've never done before, it keeps your mind working. So maybe memorizing scriptures. Remember a scripture every day. And watch your mind start gravitating towards studying even more. Amen. I'm just trying to challenge somebody. Let us together stand and sing the Savior's invitation.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil or victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Power in the